before the shlach anyway?
Actually, what I did hear one part of Parsha Shlach on Shabbos at Mincha, and I actually came up, they gave me Shlishi. I asked Ralph Levine, I don't know if you know him, he's a good buddy of mine, so he was the Baal Koreh. So I said to him, Ralph, do me a favor, don't stop at the end of the first Aliyah, just continue and read the whole Parsha. So he cracked up. He would have done it for me, but the other 100 people in the audience would have pounced upon him. So I missed Parshas Shlach, but over here, we're already up to Parshas Korach. And therefore, if you were able to get a hold of the Maror Mekomos, the topic of today is going to be Machlokes. And even if it's a little bit early, you'll have something in your back pocket. You'll have a jump start, so to speak, for Parshas Korach in advance. And if, even if you disagree with my approach, that'll only create machlokas.
Yeah, it's always good to have a little machlokas.
Well, I don't know if that's going to be my conclusion, you feel, today. But in any event, if you have page 1, you'll see that we're going to begin with a Gemara in Perek HaChelek, which is, in most editions of the Talmud Bavli, the last chapter in Perek Sanhedrin, in Masechta Sanhedrin. And what's going to be critical for us is a statement of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says the following, and hopefully you'll find it there on the top of your page 1. Omar Reish Lakish, Vayokom Melech, I'm sorry, Vayokom Moshe, Vayelech, Eldasan, Vaviro. The Pasuk describes Moshe Rabbeinu going to Dasan Vaviran. Now, Dasan Vaviran had a tremendous gripe against Moshe, and they basically said, we should have remained in Mitzrayim. Why'd you take us out of Mitzrayim? And despite the fact that Dasan Vaviran had insulted Moshe, Moshe came to see them in order to try to make peace. Says Reish Lakish, Mikan, from this we derive the conclusion, She'ein machzikin b'machlokes. What does that mean, ein machzikin b'machlokes? Rashi says, She'machal, Rashi's referring to Moshe Rabbeinu, al kvodo, and as a result of this, mechila hu atzmo holach levatel hamachlokes. He was willing to be mochel on his kavod in order to quiet down any sort of machlokas. Now, I know that you're all thinking of the question of Vayehi Bishurin Melech, and in that pasuk, it's a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. Chazal derived that Moshe Rabbeinu had the status of a melech, and the Gemara, of course, in Kiddushin says that melech shemochal kvodo ein kvodo machul. But perhaps here in this context, Moshe has the ability to be mochel, and we're going to have to see as we go along why. But the punchline of Reish Lakish is that for the sake of bittul machlokes, one should be mochel on his kavod. And then the Gemara quotes a statement of Rav. Rav says, "Kol amachzik b'machlokes over b'lah." That not only do we derive mechila for bittul machlokes in this from this parasha, but we also derive an iser lav, and that is that a person who instigates a machlokes is in violation of the lav. Shenemar, the pasuk says, v'lo yeh kekorach v'chadoso. And I would have said that that's just a description, you know, or recommendation. But Rav learns that that's a lav in the Torah. Rav Ashi Omar Roy Litztarea, he's worthy of getting tzaras. Now, why is he worthy of tzaras, of leprosy? So for that, there's a very interesting presentation of the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim wrote, as you know, a book called Shmiras Halashon, which is a book that warns us about the severity and the need to be careful about what comes out of our mouth. And in this presentation, in Shmiras HaLashon, parts of which Bli Neder will go through today, he mentions, amongst other things, Shelefa Amim. Okay, this you'll see in the third paragraph. He writes, Shelefa Amim Machlif HaKadosh Baruch Hu Es Onesh HaTzaras Ba'anius. Meaning, even though the punishment, strictly speaking, is anius, which means that you'll lose your possessions, but sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu will substitute tzaras for anius, because both a mitzora and an ani are considered kemes, which means that those two punishments are to some extent interchangeable. Now, leaving the Chofetz Chaim out for the moment, we want to mention a very important machlokas rishonim, which you'll see on page 1, about the Iser called Lahachzik Machlokas, which according to Rav is derived from the Pasuk Lo Yiyeh Kikorach V'Hadoso. Is this a full-fledged Lav Min HaTorah, which is the impression that we got from Rav Ashi? It wasn't our initial impression when we read the Pasuk. Or alternatively, is it only what we call an Asmachta B'Alma? It's only an Iser D'Rabbana. Who are these Rishonim? So we'll start first with the Shitas HaRambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, which is the third source on your page. And the Rambam, in his Shroshim, you know, the Rambam has the introduction of many different rules that govern when and how you count the Tariq Mitzvahs. And in the eighth Shoresh, he says that this pasuk of Lo Yiyeh Kikorach Ba'Adoso is not a lav. It is not to be interpreted as a lav, but rather it's nichtav, says the Rambam, biderech shlila. So again, let's just quote the Rambam inside. The Rambam says, against the third source on page 1, he says, yotze bin shlila. Hine, he says, just the key part, again, there's so much to learn in this Rambam, but v'chein amru lo yiyeh kikorach kivkidasasa hu shlila. Ubiru chacham shu shlila. In other words, shlila means the Torah is trying to exclude it and tell you to avoid it at all costs. But on the other hand, he says it's not something that could be punishable by law. HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his divine courts and the heavenly courts will mete out the punishment. He says, V'afalpi, and even if you'll ask me, Akasha, Matsanu Lashon Acher B'Gemara, the Gemara in Sanhedrin Kuf Yud seems to indicate a contra conclusion, because the Gemara says that he's chayav for violating a law, right? For violating a law. Nevertheless, nevertheless, he says, "Zeo outside ha'asmachta." This is not really a straightforward lav in the Torah. Lo yeah, pashti the krab kavanas. So that's not the simple meaning of the pasuk. The pasuk means that one should avoid a machlokes lo yeah kekorach ukeadoso. The Rambam also says, "Kol mishi yachlok al kuhuna v'yorbo lo yochul bo mashigia b'korach v'adoso min abliya v'asreifa." He says that in the case of korach v'adoso, the severity was so harsh, the punishment was so severe that they were swallowed up or burnt alive, and that's because of Dvar Hashem. Because of the word of God. But that's not because Beis Din has the ability in a human court to put such a person to death. There's no strict violation here that's punishable according to law. And you know what? This reminds me a little bit of the case of Motzi Shemra, which I discussed in a different shiur once. I don't know if you were there. That if you defame a person and ruin his reputation with a false, fabricated claim, in a secular law, you can sue for damages. You can sue his pants off, make him pay for tremendous humiliation and suffering that he caused you, and for defaming your reputation. In a Jewish court of law, it's much more complicated, because technically speaking, a human court does not have the ability to punish someone for what's called grama benizikin, which means indirect damages. And anyone who's learning Bava Kama will know what I mean, because there are many situations in which you cause someone a loss, you defame his reputation, he can't get a job, obviously suffers a tremendous financial loss. And when a person is out of a job, you know, it's a terrible thing. So we wish a lot of hatzlacha to anyone who started a new job. And in this context, I have to tell you that although, strictly speaking, according to Jewish law, you cannot sue for defamation, but nevertheless, there are many kinds of knossos and penalties that Beis Din can impose, even though it's not strictly according to the law. And that's because Grama b'Nezikin is chayav b'din shamayim. And here also, we're going to see by Korach Hadasa that this punishment of Blia and Sreifa is brought about by God through His divine heavenly courts. Now, if you take a look at the Rambam and then compare that to the Ramban, you'll see a really wide gap between the Rambam and the Ramban. Because in the Rambam, he doesn't have machzik b'machlokes as one of the lavim. And the Rambam writes that what's unique about the case of Korach is that he was cholek on kahuna. And the Ramban, who has a critique on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos, which is called Mitzvos Asher Shochachan HaRambam, the mitzvos that the Rambam forgot or omitted, the Ramban includes the lav of Lo Yia Kekorach Ve'Adoso, because the Ramban took the Gemara literally in Sanhedrin, understood that we're talking about an Iser lav d'oraisa for someone who's machzik machlokes. And if you take a look at the Ramban in his commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvos, which is here, the third source on page 1, he writes, Aval HaKosev Ha'achar Shetofas Olav HaRavbo V'lo Yeh Kekor Kadoso Shebo Chachomim Shehi Shlila Zeh Vaday Eino Pashtei Dekro V'lo kibidrash ikrei harabosenu, aval pshat hakosav ikro shetziva. Goes on and on. Shlo yachlok shum adam al kuhuras aron. And he goes on and on to say that this is the simple pshat that the Torah prohibits with a lav being machzik machlokas on aron on kuhuna. Umasha omar biinyan atzaras. And that which it says in Chazal in the Medrash, that a person who's machzik machlokas will get tzaras, hu al derech hatokhocha. That's because the Medrash wants to use harsh language for tokhocha. And if you look on the left column, the Ramban says that when the Rambam writes eino ela smachta ha'emes ki mashomer b'gemara b'sanhedrin kol machzik machlokas over losaser, he says, Ikra kosve machzik machlokes bekuhuna bilvat. He says, Enochinami, it's a lav, and should be counted in the Sefer HaMitzvos. But says the Ramban, the lav prohibits us from being like Korach ve'adoso, which means to be cholek al hakuhuna. So with regard to kahuna, we have a special category. And if you take a look in the Sefer HaMitzvos on the bottom of your page, which again, until now, we've been seeing the Rambam in the Shrashim, the Rambam has lo tizgodedu, and he tries to prove why that's a lav. And then he says, "Amatzik machlokus over b'lav lo yek karech adosu al tzad adrush." But gufei the crow who bola hafchid, that the real straightforward pshat in the pasuk is to scare us about what's going to happen to someone who's matzik machlokus. But then, if you look on page 2, you will see the Ramban in the Shichas Halavim, and the Ramban accuses the Rambam of omitting the lav of lo yeh kekorach ke'adoso, and he writes that that's a mitzvah lo saseh nimne alavim, and on the list he has a whole list of 7 lavim that the Rambam omitted. One of them is lo yeh kekorach ukadoso. Which is interesting because the Rambam omits certain lavim, but then he adds certain lavim that should be omitted. So this is a case of a lav that the Rambam omits. And I wanted to show you the Me'iri, which is back on your page 1. The Me'iri in Sanhedrin says, Afal pisha machlokas b'chlolo davar sanui meshukats. But you get the impression from the Me'iri that we're talking about a Dover Asonui Vameshukots. But I don't know, the Me'iri falls short of going as far as the Ramban would go in counting this pasuk of lo yeh kekorach ukadoso as a lav. Okay, so fine. Now I want to share with you a paragraph from Rav Avram Erlinger Shlita. He's a Rebbe, a Rosh Yeshiva in Kol Torah, and he has the following suffix. He says, "Ha'im ledas haram v'rabban machzik machlokas over al isa d'rabbanon." Would it be? What did he say?
Is that on the pages?
It's on page 6. I don't know. Again, I usually tell you gentlemen to print 4 pages, but if you happen to have the whole article, then it's on page 6. And he writes that v'nira de gamla Rambam al pi rov mislavel ze isur mitzad v'ahavtel rech kamocha umiu alav disino lo nemar b'yosem achlokas begolui t'ksiv lo sisnas achicha bilvavecha v'nira de mashma baramam she'eno isur gomer shal machlokas gam mirabonon t'yivkeno ayachayiv lahazkir isur b'yad hachazoka u'bidivrei musar ein darko lahavi akol. So Rav Erlinger wants to know, okay, the Rambam calls it an asmachta. When the Torah says, lo yeh kekorach kadoso, which sounds like a lav, that's only an asmachta, because the simple pshat is, as we said before, lahafchid. But at least, even if it's an asmachta, let it be an isa d'rabbanan. Why does the Rambam omit mention of this isa lahafchid v'machlokes from the entire 14 books of the Arach HaZaka? And apparently, he says, the reason for that is because the Rambam holds that it is not Asur D'Rabbanan. And it's only, when the Gemara says it's an Asmachta, the Gemara doesn't mean that it's an Isur D'Rabbanan. So then Rav Erlinger asks himself the following question. So what are you telling me now? The Rambam doesn't have a lav d'oraisa of machzik machlokas. He doesn't even have an iser gomer mirabbanan. So what is it? Is it mutter? Is it just Divrei Musar? So he wants to suggest the following. His first suggestion he rejects. He says maybe it comes under the law of Sina. Right? Lotisna Zachir Vavecha is counted by the Rama as one of the lavim. He says no. That lav only applies to what's called sinna shebelev. If a person has sin against someone and he keeps it inside. If he brings it outside, that's not a violation of sinna, but rather it's a violation of Yahavta L'Reacha Kamocha. So at the end of the day, a person who's machzik machlokes doesn't violate any iser b'toris machzik machlokes, but he undermines the mitzvah of the Ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha. Now, who disagrees with the Rambam? Rabbeinu Yonah. And that you'll see in the middle of your page 2. Rabbeinu Yonah in the Shari Tshuva, and this is Shari Gimel, he says, Lo yia kekorach v'chadoso. Then he quotes the statement of Rav in Sanhedrin called Maxim Machlokus over Belav, Shenemar. He goes on to say that this Isur is an Isur d'oraisa. So we have three shitas. We have the Rambam on one polar extreme. There's no Isur, not midrabanan. Then we have on the other extreme the presentation of Rabbeinu Yonah and Shai Tshuva, this is an Iser d'oraisa. And in the middle, sandwiched in the middle, we have the compromise sheet of the Ramban, that it depends. If you're machzik machlokas against kahuna, that is a violation of a lav d'oraisa. Other kinds of achzokas machlokas would come under the Iser d'rabbanon of asmachta b'yalma. Now, how does the Chafetz Chaim Paskin with regard to this machlokas? So if you look in the middle of your page 2, there are two parts to the work called Shmiras HaLosh, and one part is called the Chafetz Chaim. That's where he codifies the dinim, and there he writes in his introduction to Chafetz Chaim, machzik b'machlokas. If someone tells a story which is going to indicate that he argues with somebody, he's going to create a machlokes over alav delo yeh kekorach kadosa, and it sounds like he's accepting Rabbeinu Yonah that we're talking about alav d'oraisa. If you look in the super commentary called the Be'er Mayim Chaim, he writes for Rabbeinu Yonah mashmash ulav gomur, and even though he's very very much aware of the other shitos, the Rambam and the Ramban, nevertheless, in the Pnim, he codifies the halacha like Rabbeinu Yonah, that machzik machlokas literally violates a lav. Now, it could be that this chumrah of Rabbeinu Yonah is also a kula. We can flip it around. Because if you take a look in the Nesiv Chaim, under Se'if Yud Ches, machzik machlokas, he writes, Heter l'saper Lashon Hara al Baal Machlokas. That maybe you're allowed to speak Lashon Hara about a person who creates Machlokas. Shebaal Machlokas nikra Misha Ose Meriva Shelo Kedin. The Baal Machlokas creates a controversy and a hatred, an enmity, a division without any justification. And such a person who is a Baal Machlokes is, if you want to straighten the record and tell people about him and say, you know, you better avoid him, is therefore what you're doing really is you're working towards recreating peace in the world. This Baal Machlokes is creating enmity and friction and division. What you are doing if you speak against him is you are trying to reinstate the shalom, the peace that he was Mayfair. So again, I'm not Rabbi Osai, this has to be really studied very carefully, but it could very well be that the more severe and strict and harsh you are with regard to a Baal Machlokes, and in this case Rabbi Yonah says you violate a Lav Gomer Doraisa, the more lenient maybe you could be about, you know, fighting against this Baal Machlokes, you know, telling people stay away, he's a bad guy. Now on page 7, again if you have it, there's a sefer called Me'or LaTorah. Okay, let me just give me a second to get it out here. Okay, I don't have it in front of me right now, I'm sorry, but maybe you'll find it. He asks the following question on the Ramban. The Ramban says that the Iser of Machzik Machlokas only applies in someone who is Cholek al HaKahuna. So he says, wait a minute. The Gemara in Sanhedrin derives the Iser of Machzik Machlokas from the Pasuk Vayakam Moshe Vayelech El Dosan Vaviran. That who were the ones who were creating this Machlokas? That was Dosan Vaviran. And Dosan Vaviran are being Machzik Machlokas. Moshe Rabbeinu is dropping his guard and being mochel on his covenant, he's going to stop this machlokas, right? Moshe Rabbeinu's purpose is shelo lahachzik v'machlokas. Now, in the case of Dosan v'Aviron and the machlokas they're creating with Moshe Rabbeinu, that has nothing to do with kahuna. You know, they have gripes that Moshe Rabbeinu, took over the Bechorim and that Moshe Rabbeinu took them out of Mitzrayim and all the problems they're having in the Midbar, etc., etc. If I had time, I would bring out the Chumash. Maybe if somebody has the Chumash, we'll read the Psukim inside about Dosan v'Aviron. But in any event, this is not about Kahuna. So it's not that Moshe Rabbeinu is arguing in favor of Kahuna to protect Kahuna against the terrible defamation of Dosan v'Aviron. So it does seem that this Ma'atzokas Machlokes is not limited to Kahuna. That's the first question of the Mi'or LaTorah. The second question of the Mi'or LaTorah is a question that he directs to Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah holds that being Machzik Machlokes is an Issa Doraisa, a violation of a Lav. He says, nevertheless, there is in Rabbeinu Yonah's statement that says that you're allowed to have a Machlokes against a Rasha. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu goes to pacify Dosan v'Aviron. Kidei shelo lahachzik ito m'machlokes. What's going on over here? Dosan v'Aviron are Rishoyim. And according to Rabbeinu Yonah, you're allowed to be Machzik and Machlokes with Rishoyim. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu working so hard to diffuse any sort of confrontation with Dosan and Aviron? On the contrary, Rabbeinu Yonah advocates in favor of having a frontal confrontation and trying to undermine a Rasha. And Dosan and Aviron certainly are Rishoyim. In fact, if you go back to the beginning of Sefer Shmos, Vayomer L'Rasha Lama Sake Reyacha, according to Chazal, the Make, the Rasha, is Dosan v'Aviron. So therefore, we should have a mitzvah to fight against them. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu trying to pacify Dosan v'Aviron? So now we have a tremendous chidush here of the Ma'ar LaTorah, and this is going to be the breakthrough for today. He says the following: Yesh be'iser machlokes beis dinim. There are two categories with regard to machlokes. Number one, etzem asiyas machlokes, and this is also because of the pasuk lo yia kikorach Uchadoso. Korach and Adoso wanted to undermine Kahuna. He says, "Umikevet sheken yeshlam shekola isra zenemar gak b'cholik halakuni kedivrei Ramban." The Ramban is correct that from the perspective of asiyas machlokes, then the machlokes of Korach v'Hadasa was machlokes against kahuna. However, there's another din, and this will play in on the confrontation between Dasa v'Aviron and Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's called lahachzik v'machlokes, not etzem asiyas ha-machlokes, but rather lahachzik v'machlokes. What's the difference? In the first case, you created the argument, you know, the instigator. The Korach v'Hadasa were the initiators. They created the machlokes. Then we have Dasa v'Aviron. Dasa v'Aviron didn't create this machlokes. They just, you know, added fuel to the flame, so to speak. But Makom Shelo Yotzaras Machlokes El Atzad Shekinegdo Paal V'Yotzar Osa Afal Pichein Mutol Olav Chiyuv Loleches L'Tzad Shekinegdo Levatal Asa Machlokes V'Zen Nilmad Mi Moshe Rabbeinu Shaholach L'Dosan Va'Avira. So what happens over here? Dasa v'Aviron are not what we call asiyas ha-machlokes or yitziras ha-machlokes. That's pretty clear. He says, nevertheless, there is what he calls a tzad shekinegdo pa'al v'yotzarosa. So in other words, let's see if we can give it names. You know, I think maybe that'll make it easier. So in the first case, Reuven creates a machlokes against Shimon. That's Korach v'Hadasa, that's the etzem asiyas machlokes against Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's where they come. Well, I shouldn't even say against Moshe Rabbeinu. What I mean is Moshe Rabbeinu's appointment of Aaron and the giving of Kohuna. So that's a machlokas against Kahuna, and that's the lav of Loya Kikorach v'Hadasa according to the Ramban in the case of machlokas ala Kahuna. Fine. Now there's a case where there's a tzad shekinegdo shepal v'yotzar osa, which I understand to mean that from the perspective of, again, our paradigm of Reuven and Shimon, right? Reuven created machlokas against Shimon. So Shimon is now in a position where he can decide one of two things. He can either fight back in this machlokas, or he can be mochel in this machlokas. So since the tzad shekinegdo was the one that created this machlokes, you would think that now, if Reuven created machlokes against Shimon, Shimon should have the right to fight back against Reuven. Oh, that's the chiddush. Afal pichein mutal olav chiyuv leches the tzad shekinegdo that created this machlokes, ulevatel asa machlokes. So in other words, when Dasan v'Aviron link up with Korach v'Hadasa, right? Then at that point, they become the tzad shekinegdo against Moshe Rabbeinu. And you might think that Moshe Rabbeinu should fight them tooth and nail. The Torah is teaching us, no, we're going to derive from Moshe Rabbeinu who went to Dasan v'Aviron that it would be a better idea to try as much as he can to be mevatel the machlokes.
But why do you look at them as being less than the originator? The originator will not get anywhere unless there's somebody to.
That's a good point. But what I want to do, Joe, is just before we come back to your question, is to try to understand how this chiddush of the Me'or LaTorah is going to answer the kasha that he had on Rabbeinu Yon. So let's, if we can just reverse this a little bit, if you don't mind, let's try to ask the kash again on Rabbeinu Yon. Rabbeinu Yon is of the opinion that when you make a machlokes, you violate a law. And that applies to kol echad mi Yisrael. It's not limited to Kohanim. And yet, there's a mitzvah, lahachzik machlokes imar shoyim. So the question is, on Rabbeinu Yonah, if there's a mitzvah of lahachzik machlokes imar shoyim, which again, I'm trying to find that in the words of Rabbeinu Yonah in the Sharei Tshuva. Where is it? Machzik machlokes imar shoyim. Yeah, if you take a look in number Nun Tes, which is the second half of the Shari Tshuva on page 2, he writes, Misheino machzik machlokes al misyatzvim al derech lo tov hu moshche ha'avon harehu nenash. If he doesn't battle against those who are going in the wrong way, in the evil path, and they are bringing sin, then he gets punished for that. Which means that he should stand up against those who are creating machlokas. Because you just finished saying that creating a machlokas is a violation of the law. So that certainly is a derech lo tov. And if that be the case, why is Moshe Rabbeinu going to Dasan to appease Dasan Vaviron in order to kadesh lo lahachzik ito machlokas? On the contrary, Misheino machzik machlokas hu nenash, he's going to be punished. So then, we're in a bind here with Rabbeinu Yonah, because Rabbeinu Yonah is telling us that if you're not going to be machzik machlokes with a Rasha, then you yourself are going to be punished for that. So Moshe Rabbeinu, instead of being machzik machlokes with these Rishoyim, namely Dasan Vaviron, who created a machlokes, then Moshe Rabbeinu should be chas shalom punished for that. And yet we're deriving from Moshe Rabbeinu the exact opposite conclusion, that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to pacify those who are machzik b'machlokas. But if a machzik b'machlokas, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, violates the law of d'oraisa, he's a rasha. Therefore, dasav avirin are rishoyim. The Torah itself testifies about them that they are rishoyim. Vayomer l'rasha lama sakariyacha. And therefore, Adarabba, we should come to the conclusion that it's a mitzvah to confront these guys. And instead, Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, I'm going to be mochel. So now we're going to try to defend Rabbeinu Yonah based on this Ma'or LaTorah. And we're going to say the following. That there's a concept called lahachzik v'machlokes. And when it comes to lahachzik v'machlokes, which means Dasan v'Aviron are not creating the machlokes, it's just sort of adding, as we said before, fuel to the flame and strengthening the machlokas, then in such a case, he writes, again, this is the key language, mutal olav chiv lo leches litzad shekenegdo levatel es machlokas. So it means that the violation of the law of lo yeh kekorah kadoso, which again only applies to La'ora la Kahuna, that's the case of not Dasan Vaviron, because they're not coming to be Ma'ara on the Kahuna. They're only being Machzik b'machlokas, but the Etzem Asiyas of Machlokas against Kahuna, that's only Korach Vadasa. So then when we get to the level of Machzik b'machlokas, which again, according to the Ramban, is not a violation of an Issa d'oraisa, and that's applicable, that category and description is applicable to Dasan Vaviron, because again, they're not the Osa HaMachlokas, because again, Osa HaMachlokas means against Kahuna, according to the Ramban, but rather they're in the gather of Machzik HaMachlokas. In such a case, what laws evolve or apply in the case of someone who's a machzik b'machlokas? And you and I might have thought that we should confront such a person and just keep battling against them. Comes Moshe Rabbeinu to teach us, no. If a person is machzik b'machlokas, we want to, you know, quell, we want to quench the flame, so to speak, and subdue the machlokes. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be mochel on his covered and go after Dasan Vaviron to try to do this. But only if you assume, like the Ramban, that Dasan Vaviron, insofar as they didn't create a machlokes against Aaron, therefore they don't have the status of a violation of a lav and a rasha through asiyas hamachlokes. So I think, Joe, now maybe we can answer your question. You were asking, okay, so Dasan Vaviron didn't initiate and instigate the machlokes, but obviously Korach Vadoso needs all the support they can in order to successfully create this machlokes. But the answer is that that's not called a violation of the Iser of Lo Yiyeh Korach Vadoso on the part of Dasan Vaviron, because as the Ramban says, that violation only applies to Kuhuna. Even though, as we said before, there would be a violation of the mitzvah of V'ahavta L'Re'acha Kamocha by creating a machlok, by strengthening a machlokes, but that's not enough to give you a shame rasha. In other words, a person who doesn't fulfill the mitzvah of Ava, and again, we're not talking about sinner because sin is only belayed. This was open, so it's just a deficiency or a lack of Ava. Again, that doesn't put you on the highest madrega in Ruchnius, but you're not called a Rasha. And therefore, we're in a different realm now. We're in the realm of interrelationship with a machzik b'machlokes. And within that realm of a machzik b'machlokes, we want to do whatever we can to reduce that machlokes, even if it means mechila. Ah, you'll ask me, Rabbi Yonis says, Mishena Machzik Machlokes on a Holech B'derech Lo Tova, who's a Rasha, who Nenash, that doesn't apply to Dasan Vaviron.
I was going to say, maybe along the lines, but something a little bit differently. Maybe, yes, he's exactly the same as the originator,
yeah. But
now we're, you by going against the person who's originating the conflict, it's you against him. Now we're past that stage. We're in trouble because it's already starting to
spread.
Now we have to do something even more so to try to stop it. If you just stand against them, it's already out.
It's only gonna cause more and more machlokes.
Right. So Moshe, it's not necessarily that they're not as bad. No. It's just that the circumstances are different now, so you have to take a different.
So if I understand you correctly, Joe, your approach is to say that when Moshe Rabbeinu was mochel on his covenant and halach etzel dasa aviron, that's because Moshe Rabbeinu thought tactfully in diplomacy, in terms of the overall picture of a massive rebellion against the authority of Moshe Rabbeinu, this would be the best way to go.
Maybe. Is that possible?
But it's possible. The reason why I think the Ma'ar Littor is looking for an alternative answer, not because your answer is not a good one, but because he has this technical problem that according to Rabbeinu Yonah, once you're a Holech B'derech Lo Tova and you have the status of a Rasha, then the Halach itself requires of you to have a Machlokas with such a person. And you might say, well, this was a different scenario because this was the beginning of the formulation of Klal Yisrael and, you know, Moshe's authority was still not totally settled and acceptable. Haraya, that this rebellion was so successful. Maybe in that early stage, it's important to use tact. And even though a person is a Russian, maybe we should still try to bring him in and calm him down and be pacify him in order to establish the overall peace, which I think is a valid approach. The Ma'ar LaTorah is really looking at it from a more technical, pinpointed. You know, he's pinpointing one issue, and that is what is the status of Dasan Vaviron. The Halacha says that a Rasha, you got to confront him. That's what you have to do. You can't kowtow and bow yourself to a Rasha. If you do that, then nenash mi pishayim, you will be punished. And that's why he's finding this technical answer, because he's saying that Dosan Vaviran don't fill the requirements of the technical Asiyas HaMachlokes, which engenders the same Shem Rasha. Because this Iser of Asiyas HaMachlokes only applies to Korach Vadoso, or someone similar to Korach Vadoso, who are going to be Cholek Ala Kahuna. Let me just add one more paragraph and then I'll let you go. He says, HaMitzvah Liskotetim Rishoyim, that mitzvah which is formulated by Rabbeinu Yonah to confront the Rasha, Rak Bameshekosav Mikodim Lachain Beinyon Lasos Machlokes of Aluya Kikorach, that's Asiyas HaMachlokes. Aval Im Kol Ze Ein Mitzvah Lahachzik Imo Ktota Ela Adraba Mutal Chiyuv Lelechas Uleshadlo B'dvarim Ula Yachzer Bo Mimaiso Kibo Moshe Rebbeinu Sholach L'dosav Avirin Lahachzik L'muta L'zira L'muta V'yachol Pichoy Rishoyim Ela She'im Gam Zelo Ho'il Yeshal Of Mitzvah L'sona. So he wants to embellish his pshat a little bit further, which I thought was important to study before I let you go. And he wants to suggest that although Rabbeinu Yonah advocates liskotet im arishoyim, to confront them, however, that's only if you've tried everything else. You know, you've attempted other methods. Right, but if on the other hand you're still at the stage where maybe, you know, you can get these Rishoyim to give up that Rishus, when we confront the Rasha, Rabbeinu Yonah is not advocating the first thing we do is push the Rasha away. What we have to do is we have to find some sort of method of getting the Rasha, that's our ultimate goal, lachziro lemutav, to go back to the right way, the proper path. And therefore, there's stage number one and stage number two. Stage number one is adarab, as Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm going to be mochel my kovid, I'm going to go after him, I'm going to be trying to be meshaglo bitvarim to pacify him. Maybe he'll be chozel lemutav. Then you get to stage number two. Once he refuses any of your gestures, and he completely rejects them, and he wants to continue Biderech HaRasha, and you see that you're not having any impact on him, at that point you have to hate him. You have to confront him. And then Rabbeinu Yonah is correct. But at this stage in which we're trying to see if we can get all our people, you know, and pacify them and explain to them what would happen and with the decisions, and this was all based on the divine command, etc., 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 whatever it takes to bring them back in, let's at least go down that path. Don't leave any, you know, leave any stone unturned. Try to do whatever you can to maximize the possibility of Lachziro Lemutav and quell this rebellion and this Machlokes. If all else fails, then Eochinami, we got to confront them, and at the end of the day, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to do so, and the punishment is going to be very severe.
Out of Russia until you fail in your lahatzik.
Correct. There's asiyas machlokes, and then there's lahatzik machlokes. And when we face and confront a lahatzik machlokes situation, we should try to go through two stages. Our first attempt is going to be to try to pacify. If all things fail, then we're going to hit that lahatzik machlokes with another lahatzik machlokes.
It sounds like they're just trying to isolate who's the Russia.
That's what the Mar HaTorah is trying to do. And he's basing himself on the Ramban. Remember, we had three shittas about who is, you know, when do we violate this law. And the Ramban's middle shita was Korach Hadoso violates the law specifically because of their rebellion against Kahuna. That doesn't apply in the more general category called Lahachzik Machlokas, where Dosan Vavirin are clearly guilty. Logically, Rabbeinu Yonah would say, well, how do you confront Lahachzik Machlokas with another Lahachzik Machlokas? But Moshe Rabbeinu is going to teach us, hold on, let's wait for a moment. If all fails, then Rabbeinu Yonah is going to go into full swing, Lahachzik Machlokas against the Machzik Machlokas. But if we can find another method, because we're not dealing with the Osam Machlokas, who's already a full-fledged Rasha, we're dealing with a certain stage in development in which we could possibly be Maxim Lebutov, then Moshe Rabbeinu says, try to pacify. That's the best I can do here with the Ma'ar, with the Ma'ar Torah. But later I'll try to see if I can embellish that a little further, but that's what I have right now.
Let us know if you do.